Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for tuning in. If you just got here, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, we thank you for that. And we consider that to be a sign of high intelligence. And you're about to get a lot smarter because Don Cooper is in the building, so to speak. Don is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, co-author along with Beverly Williams of The 30-Second Commute. He's one of the top experts on the planet on networking, sales, marketing, and customer service. He's a really smart guy, and he's our good friend. Welcome back to the show, Don.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
You're all a Twitter about it, aren't you?
Oh, always.
the classic statement about what we should be doing with our auditory senses is the one about the ratio between our ears and our mouth, right?
Precisely.
Tell us that one again.
Well, we were given two ears and one mouth that we'd listen twice as much as we talked.
We should listen twice as much.
And unfortunately, most of us don't do that real well.
Well, our one mouth is bigger than both of our ears put together.
Yeah, and it gets a lot more exercise.
And listening isn't as much fun as telling people how smart we are, is it, Don?
No, absolutely not. And we tend to figure as salespeople that, you know, we love our product or our service, and we know all about it. And we figure if we just tell our prospect everything we possibly can, they'll love it just as much as we do.
And the more we tell them, the more they'll buy.
Precisely. And, of course, that's absolutely dead wrong.
Mm-hmm. And it's never been and is getting more wrong by the day.
Oh, yes.
It absolutely was the kind of thing. See, I actually, Don, you're a lot younger than me, but I actually remember the days in the marketplace of what we used to call the product of the month.
Uh-huh.
I remember those days when customers literally, Don, relied on people like me to come by with my kit bag of samples and my pricing and all the, you know, we brought them, we were their internet, Don.
Mm-hmm.
We salespeople come to business owners and business managers back in the 60s and 70s, and even part of the 80s, we were their internet because we brought them product information, we brought them the new stuff, whatever was the next thing to come out, we brought them that stuff. We showed them what was going on in the industry. We also brought the jokes too. We told them we always had our new jokes to tell them. See,
of course,
and that was a big deal. So they literally, a big, huge part of their day, of any manager's day, was talking to salespeople about what was available to them. And it was just understood. But today, it's not that way, is it?
How things have changed.
Because they actually have a real internet.
Yeah.
They can even get their jokes there, can't they?
Exactly. And they've got so many more opportunities to buy things than ever before. There are more options than ever before, and there's more information than ever before. So now prospects' time is at an absolute premium.
That's right.
And we don't have time to waste talking and talking and talking about things that may or may not be relevant.
It's more precious than their money.
Absolutely.
The time is more precious.
People will happily pay more to save time.
Yep, they will. Well, in those days now, Don, in truth, in those days, we should have been listening more even in those days. But
even
we got away with it because we had stuff they needed.
Right.
Today, we have almost nothing they can't get from anybody else 8 ways from Sunday. And so we better be listening to what they're having to say, finding out how we can perfectly niche our little ideas and our products into what they want, not what
precisely
they need.
And the only way we can do that is to listen and understand their needs, their situation, their concerns, their goals, their problems, all of that.
And Donna, I think the way companies get their salespeople ready to go to the marketplace is the essence of why salespeople fail.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Because they don't understand what you just said, and they load they do. You've heard me talk about back in the dump using the dump truck theory. They back the dump truck up to the heads of these salespeople. They dump all this information, pricing strategy, et cetera, into their heads. Pop them on the butt and say, "Okay, now go sell."
Absolutely, they train people on a pitch, and that pitch is all of the supposed features and benefits of the product or service, and they go out and repeat that. But the prospect doesn't want to hear that. It doesn't mean anything to the prospect. And I think that's, you're right, that's a big reason for failure.
And folks, if that's what you're doing, you need to stay tuned, because Don and I are going to talk about how to fix that, how to help you, maybe in 7 days, 0 to 60 in 7 days, from not so good sales to great sales. And I think we can help you with that right after these messages, 20 till. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Back in a nutrition out the wheel. We're going downtown in the middle of.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Don Cooper. Don, give us your website, please.
That is www.doncooper.com.
And he's the president of Cooper Business Development Group. And give my audience a little bit of a thumbnail about what you do for companies.
I help companies increase their sales. Usually that's through training their sales team. It can be training customer service staff or working with them on marketing strategies. But very often it's creating custom sales solutions for their sales team to help increase those sales.
What do you think people would say, Don, if you started telling people that that you could increase their sales, you could help them to have much more success with three things? And here are the three things. One of them is a little poster board, and the other one is a black, a Sharpie. And on that poster board, you would write, "What do you want?"
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. What do you want, I think, would be probably the thing I would write down. Now, that's two of the things. And you give each one of your salespeople that sign, whatever that you decide to put on there. What do you want? And the third thing is duct tape. And you see where I'm going with this.
Yes,
And so every time your salespeople walk out of the door, you have them stand at attention, and you hand them this sign, and you put duct tape over their mouths, and you tell them to go sell. And so they go up to a customer, prospect, they knock on the door, and they hold up the sign.
I think that would be an improvement for a lot of people.
Some people, I think their sales would go up, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I've done a lot of work with a lot of companies, and as part of my work, I will often watch salespeople go through what they do, everything from their early prospecting to trying to close a sale. And I've seen so many salespeople deliver long, drawn-out presentations that have nothing to do with what the prospect actually needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen more than one CEO tap their foot, check their email, and actually even leave the room during a PowerPoint presentation because what the salesperson was talking about had nothing to do with what they needed. They don't have time for
this
stuff.
They weren't interested. Yeah.
Yeah.
They lost
them.
They're
talking about the history of the company and their values and mission and yada, 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 which is all fine and good, but they don't care.
As a friend of mine says, they say blah, blah, blah when blah would have been enough.
Precisely. And so one of the things that I stress to salespeople, to anybody that sells, is that there really are two primary keys to making more sales. One is asking good questions, and the other is actually listening to the answers. And if people can do those two things, they can radically improve their sales, because the average salesperson doesn't ask anywhere near enough questions. They spend too much time talking. They talk and talk and talk and talk, and most of the time they're talking, the prospect is tuning them out entirely.
Well, you know, there are two things going on here, Don. One of them is, and to many people, they would sound like the same thing, but they're really not. They're two different activities. They're two different tasks. One of them is to listen. We've been talking about that now for a few minutes. That's important. That's a mental, conscious mental task that we have to do, right?
Yes.
Listen. The other one, though, and this is a second thing, and sometimes people think that it's all the same thing, but it's really not. The other one is to shut up.
Yeah. Most of us think we're good listeners, when the fact is most of us suck. Most of us are too busy talking to listen well, and if we're not talking, we're too busy thinking about what we're gonna say next.
That's one of the biggies right there.
It's huge.
That's what prevents us from listening. It doesn't prevent us from hearing, because we hear them fine, because that's when we know when to start talking again.
Right.
But it prevents us from listening, and that's the reason why I for 20 years, actually longer than that, I won't say how long, I've been saying to plan intentionally not to speak
right
for 3 seconds after your prospect or customer stops talking.
Yeah, because there's two problems with not paying full attention. One is, obviously, like you said, you don't get the information. You know, we can hear what they say, but we don't register it, we don't comprehend it, so we miss out on the clues that they're giving us to help make the sale. The other problem is they can tell we're not listening. And when your prospect knows, or at least feels or suspects they're not being listened to, then they don't feel valued.
That's right.
And it hurts rapport, and it kills trust.
Yep.
Because how can I trust you with my money if you don't fully understand my situation?
And it's the quickest way to get the screen door to hit you in the backside on the way out.
Absolutely. If I perceive that you don't really care about me and you don't really understand who I am and what I need, then I'm not going to give you my money. Mm-hmm. I don't trust you. That's the key. When we tend to believe that we build trust through talking, by making a case and proving ourselves, when the opposite is true. We build trust through listening.
And making sure that we have them saying things about themselves.
Yeah.
That's when people think that you're so smart, is when you're asking them about themselves.
Yeah. Especially when you ask questions they can't answer.
Ah, I want to ask you when we come back, I want you to tell us what some of those questions might be. What would be a question that a customer can't answer, folks? Don Cooper is our guest. He's going to answer that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
You better make it soon before you break my heart.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Don Cooper. Don, give us your website again, please.
www.doncooper.com.
Yeah, that's right. D-C-O-O-P-E-R, by the way, Don Cooper. And the book, The 30-Second Commute, is still there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You can find it right there.
Still in bookstores.
Exactly, all over the place. Don, you said something as we went to the break. Do you remember what you said?
I remember I said that you had made the point that when you listen and ask questions, you look smart.
Yep.
And I said, especially when you ask a question that the prospect can't answer.
And that, what kind of a question would that be?
It's a specific question designed to either gather information or designed to get that kind of a response from the prospect. Because then if the prospect says they can't answer a question that you ask, that's the reason they need you.
Or if it's a question that they might answer, but they never thought they'd have to think about.
Precisely.
Let me give you an example. This is one that I use myself all the time, and it works like a charm. Even if I don't get an answer, I get an attaboy.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. What can I do to help you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because salespeople are experts. They need to be. They should be. Mm-hmm. They're an expert in whatever field it is in which they sell. So if you sell computers, you're an expert in computers. If you sell cars, you're an expert in cars. If you sell restaurant services, supplies, you're an expert in that. You're an expert in something related to what you sell. And one of your goals should be to make yourself of value to your prospect as an information and solutions provider. But the only way to create that value is for the prospect to have a question they can't answer. So you might ask, for example, what's most important to you in a server or a car or a restaurant supplier? Let them answer. And follow up with, well, what else is important to you? Mm-hmm. What kinds of problems have you had with blank in the past? You know, what is the number one thing you're worried about?
Notice that every question that Don asks, folks, is an interrogative. It's who, what, when, where, how, and why. The non-directed probes. That's the only way you get information that they can expand on.
Right. So asking questions like that, asking questions related to your expertise, because if you're a salesperson, you know what problems people have. You know what kind of things they run into, and you know the kinds of things that they need to be looking out for. If we just tell them that, though, it's our idea and it's no big deal. But if we ask them, then either they'll come with the answer or they won't have the answer. Either way, that works to our benefit.
What do you think about cold calling?
I don't have a problem with it. It works for a lot of people. The key is, again, to ask questions. Rather than call someone and make a pitch, call and ask a couple of questions.
But I mean in person, walking up, hi, I'm Jim, how do you like me so far?
Cold calling in person is fine. It works for a lot of people. Again, though, it's got to be question-based. Mm-hmm. And your first few questions need to establish permission and establish a need.
Don't go too fast over that first one.
No.
Permission.
Permission.
What does that mean? What does that look like?
You want to get their permission to talk with them. I was in the neighborhood, thought I'd stop by for a moment. Do you have a few minutes?
And should you give them an alternative? Should you say, if you've got a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to find out a little bit more about your business. If this is not a good time, would next week be better?
Exactly.
Should you do that?
Sure.
Always give them an option, right? And either answer you're going to like.
Yeah. Now, if you state up front what your purpose is and simply ask me yes or no question, you may get a yes very often. Mm-hmm. I was in a bird. I had a few extra minutes. If you don't mind, I'd love to talk with you for about 7 minutes. Would that be all right?
But it shouldn't be what you have to talk about. Shouldn't be about what you have to sell, should
no.
it? Shouldn't
no,
it be about learning more about them?
Exactly, because when they say yes, the next question should be something along the lines of, do you use blank?
Right.
Copy your supplies or fishing reels or whatever you sell. Mm-hmm. Do you use this? Are you ecstatic about who and what you're using right now? Because the thing is, if they love who they use right now, you have no chance.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. If they're satisfied, then you have a chance.
Right.
So hey, don't ask if they're satisfied. Ask if they love what they have now.
We have to wrap it up, unfortunately. Time is not on our side at this moment. Give us your website again, please.
www.doncooper.com.
All right. Don, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
My pleasure, Jim.
Don Cooper, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes. You're the best, too, small business owners. I'm so proud of you. I don't know what to do. I'm Jim Blassingame, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.